You're listening to episode 87 of the Mad Chatters podcast, May 25th, 2016.
Most everyone's mad here.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mad Chatters podcast, your very important date with the happenings at Walt Disney World and around the Disney universe. My name is Derek, and joining me today are my fellow Mad Chatters, Matt.
Good evening.
And Jeremy.
I do believe in life after love.
Let's get started this week by doing something that we talked about a few weeks ago. We promised our listeners that Jeremy would give us his must-watch list for the Disney Channel movie marathon that's taking place this weekend, Memorial Day weekend. I'm just going to read this little blurb here from the press release. It said, in celebration of its 100th original movie, Adventures in Babysitting, Disney Channel is broadcasting all 99 Disney Channel original movies that came before it, beginning with the 51 most popular, airing over the four-day holiday weekend. It will begin at 10 o'clock a.m. Friday, May 27th, and the last movie will begin at 3:35 a.m. on Monday, May 30th. Now, I don't want to speak for Matt, but I know zero about the Disney Channel original movies. So today, we've brought on a special guest to have this conversation with Jeremy, and it is David. Hey, David.
Hey there, Mad Chatters. What's up?
Hey, so if you have been listening to our show for some time, you might remember David as the former cast member we spoke with way, way back in episode 44, and he has returned. So, Jeremy, I'll just let you take it from here, because I'm very interested to hear these lists.
Oh, great. I'm so glad you're interested. I'm kind of curious when they're going to air the other 48 movies, because, like you said, they promised to show all 100, but they're going to start with 51. But anyways, I want to save people like Derek, who's never seen these films. I want to save you some time because there's definitely some on the list that are worth skipping. And you have to remember, too, I'm not a 16-year-old. So I haven't watched some of these newer ones that have been out in the last few years. So, you know, I come from a different perspective, per se. And David, I don't know if he's – are you up to date with – do you keep up with the latest Disney Channel original movie?
I don't. I kind of tuned out after the High School Musical phenomenon.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that's kind of when I lost interest as well. But anyway, so if you have never seen Disney Channel original movies, we are going to each give, I can think, five or so that you should add to your DVR this week. That way you can watch these. And Derek, I hope you'll watch these, all right? So
I think I will.
Good, Derek. You better.
Well, I grew up without Disney Channel, and I would always hear about these movies, and even today, I still feel like I missed out.
Yeah.
You did.
Now you don't...
Not to put too fine a point on it, but you did.
he's in therapy for it now, so it's fine. And again, these movies are not going to win Academy Awards anytime soon, all right? So keep your expectations low. It's kind of like... I like to think of these films as like a nice bag of Skittles. You know, it's a fun treat. It's not going to fill you up. It's not going to nourish you. And if you eat too much at one time, you're going to vomit. But they're nice every now and then. So there you go.
Clearly, Jeremy, you've never seen The Color of Friendship because...
You're right. I have. No, you're right. That one is heavy. But that one did not make my list. Did that one make your list?
It did not. It did,
okay. There we go. Well, my number one, I think if you're only going to watch one... this is the one you have to watch, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's not even that... others will disagree with me on this, but this is me. And that is Alley Cat's Strike.
Ooh.
Does that make your list?
It didn't, but it was definitely a top contender on the honorable mention list.
All right. Alley Cat's Strike is a movie about a misfit group of friends, and they are bowlers. They're on the bowling team at school. And it's all about competitive bowling and the struggle with that, you know, kind of thing. And I just remember being obsessed with this movie and wanting to bowl as a kid after watching it so much. So Ali Catstrike gets my vote. Let me look too. I think there's somebody famous in it. There's somebody who like went on to be famous.
While you're looking, I'll share my top one. So I love scary movies, and I realize that puts me in a minority with some people. So bear that in mind. But my top one would most definitely be Halloween Town.
The original.
Yeah, the original. Calabar's Revenge, Halloween Town High. I don't have time for that ish, but the original Halloween Town, that's some good stuff. It certainly does not fall as high on the scale as Hocus Pocus, but it sits in the same neighborhood, kind of a dumpier part of town, but in the same neighborhood.
Okay, yeah. For those listening, Halloween Town will begin at 11:30 on Memorial Day morning, and Alley Cat Strike will air at 4:25 a.m. early Saturday morning.
But again, that's why we have DVR.
Exactly. These are airing out of order. Why is Halloween Town on Friday? Halloween Town 2 is on Friday. Halloween Town High is on Saturday, and then Halloween Town is on Monday.
Let's just look at Memorial Day as like prime time.
Oh, okay.
So anything that's falling on Memorial Day is like grade A quality.
I can see that. Okay.
Kaylee Cuoco was in Alley Cat Strike.
Hey.
That's who it was.
She's Penny on Big Bang Theory now. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Another one on my list. I think that you should see. It's so good. The 13th Year.
Yes. That was my number two. The original.
Yes. And so the 13th year is about a boy and he turns 13 and he starts turning into a mermaid. And so it's
when
just
puberty really hits. You go through puberty, you turn into a merman.
Yeah. And he finds out that he has like, I guess he was adopted, like the mermaids had to give him up for adoption or something. And so he's adopted out, and then he starts discovering his true self when he turns 13, getting fish gills and all that kind of stuff. So
I might skip that one.
Well, that would be a mistake.
Okay, all right.
And it's also has Dave Coulier is in it.
Hey.
So it really would be a mistake for you to skip that.
Well, if you don't mind, Derek, when is that airing?
That is at 4:20 a.m. That's appropriate. On Saturday, May 28th.
Man. Oh, it's one of the lower categories. Well, clearly people just don't know talent.
Yeah, I would agree. All right. Another one on my list is Brink. And this movie, I feel like these movies really had influence on like my interests outside of viewing them, because this is about competitive inline skating. And it's the classic tale of like kind of an oddball group of friends, and the one kid is really good, and he's tempted to get the corporate sponsorship, and he kind of forgets who he is. So then he goes back at the end, spoiler, with his friends. But it's based off of an actual movie that was in the theaters back in the day, Hans Brinker, which was a Disney movie about ice skating. And so this is inline skating, though.
See, I have hope for this one because it's Brink with an exclamation point at the end. So I feel like this has to be really good.
It's got Eric Thomas Van Detten in it, who is one of those actors you probably don't know his name, but he's been in a lot of things that you've probably seen.
Yeah, was he in Princess Diaries?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And also he was the voice of Sid in Toy Story.
Oh, okay. I didn't put that together. Huh.
Oh. And Escape to Witch Mountain. He was in that movie too, which was a really good movie as well.
Yes.
Yep.
So, anyways, what's another one on your list?
So the third one for me, it was a toss-up between Brink and this one, but
I'm so sorry. I'm gonna stop you. Also, Walter Jones is in Brink, and if you don't know who that is, he was the Black Power Ranger in the original Power Rangers.
Billy. Just throwing the...
No, yes. Not yeah. Billy. Wait. The no. Black guy.
Oh
Zach.
Yeah, you're right. Zach.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
My third is motocrossed.
Yes, this was an honorable mention on my list.
Oh,
and this
movie, so good.
Not one that I would expect to like, because I'm not into like, you know, the cars and motorcycles and racing kind of things. But yes, very, very good.
Yeah. It's about a girl whose older brother races BMX bikes. Not BMX. Dirt bikes.
Dirt bikes. Dirt bikes. That's better. Yeah.
He races dirt bikes and he eats it one day and breaks his arm and he can't race in this huge race coming up. And so the talking about gender stereotypes, the girl of the family, the middle child, you know, wants to take her brother's place because she's got this secret thing where she's really good at racing dirt bikes. But everyone's like, a girl can't do that. You can't compete with boys. And she does.
According to the Wikipedia page, it says it's loosely based on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. But I like
promise
to think,
I was just going to say that.
And it's also like, what was that movie with Amanda Bynes?
She's the Man.
She's the Man, yes, where she pretends to be her brother so she can play on the soccer team. Yeah. Yeah. So, really good.
Quality all the way around.
Yes, good choice.
Motocrossed.
Motocrossed. Yep. When is that one on for our listeners?
4:35 p.m. on Sunday.
Yep. See, that's a pretty good spot.
Yeah, that's prime time right there.
Yep.
There you go. Next on my list, another great one is Johnny Tsunami. And the story of Johnny Tsunami is about a boy who lives in Hawaii, and he loves to surf. And then, unfortunately, his dad gets a job transfer, and he has to move to Vermont. And so, you know, it's a fish out of water, and he's adjusting. But thankfully, since he's such a good surfer, and just when he's at his lowest moment and he hates Vermont, he discovers snowboarding, and he adapts to being a snowboarder. So, you know, a good movie all around.
Is his real name Johnny Tsunami?
Yeah, that's the name of the character. Yeah, so
right,
I would
but I didn't know if it was like Johnny something else, but the name of the movie is Johnny Tsunami.
Oh, no, yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah, no. His last name is Kapahala.
So, oh, okay. So his character's name is not Johnny Tsunami.
Which is much easier to say.
Yes. Yeah. Clearly.
According to Wikipedia, Johnny has good friends, a great family, and a grandpa, the famous Johnny Tsunami, a surf legend who saved a group of survivors from a plane crash.
Gotcha. Yep. That's dramatic.
It is. And you'll also probably be happy to know that the movie stars the famous Chet Jackson, Rip.
That's right. Oh. Yes.
Wow.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
My number four, and I can already tell you that this will be showing up at like 3:38 a.m. on Friday. so I know it's obscure, but I don't care. It's The Other Me with the youngest Lawrence brother, Andy Lawrence, I think. Jeremy, do you remember this one?
I'm looking it up now because I didn't, but yes. And he clones himself.
Yeah, accidentally. He's trying to do a science project. It has something to do with, like, these weird things that you put in a fish tank, and he accidentally clones himself. And all I remember is he has this sick dance break in the cafeteria to an NSYNC song where he starts to dance to it, and this kid is like, oh, yeah, and he pulls up this, like, really dope 90s boombox and goes to turn it up and doesn't actually hit the volume button. He hits the speaker, so he's like turning up the speaker, which makes no sense. So that just shows you the quality, the level of precision on these Disney originals.
Right, the story editor was not in the room when that scene took place.
And whatever happened to Andy Lawrence? Like all the Lawrence brothers there for a little bit were like, they were like Disney Channel gold, because they were in another movie that is not going to be played. But I'm looking forward to it in the future. Jumping Ship. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was all three of them. And
the
then
sequel
Andy Lawrence
to Horse Sense?
Yes, yeah.
You guys might as well be speaking a different language. I never The Other Me and the Horse Sense and the sequel to Twitch's Cats Alley or something.
Alley Cat Strike. Try to keep up.
Yes, yes.
Well, according to www.andrewlawrence.com, the site is currently under maintenance.
Oh,
please visit us again soon.
As is Andy Lawrence.
Oh, bless. All right. And I had Halloween Town on my list, so I only have one more that I'll share. And that is Phantom of the Megaplex, which is like a poor man's Phantom of the Opera, minus the music, but really not scary, but just like, it's almost like a thriller, you know, kind of a thing.
Wait, that's not on the schedule I have. My hopes up about movies that aren't going to be part of this marathon.
My bad. Oh. Never mind. Oh, man.
I cannot believe they didn't put that on there.
But it said they're going to show the other 48 eventually, so I can look forward to that one.
Who selected these top movies? Because I seriously have some issues with them. That one is not on there, but then we've got some of these random ones that I was reading.
So you like Phantom of the Megaplex?
Yeah.
That's a good movie. It's got Mickey Rooney in it.
Hey.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Little Mickey Rooney.
My final one is most definitely Smart House.
I remember liking this, but I don't know. It was one of those, I had mixed emotions about it, because it kind of was a little too, I don't know, weird for me.
I wanted to live in that house. So it's about this kid who enters a competition where you can live in a smart house, and he wins, of course, and he moves into this smart house that literally does everything for you. So, like, he wants to throw this rager one night while his dad's gone, which this is a Disney Channel original, so ragers are like pizza.
And Dr. Pepper.
And Dr. Pepper and balloons. And the animatronic, like, mother who kind of oversees the whole smart house, she kind of befriends this child. And he's like, oh my gosh, I think her name is Pat. Oh my gosh, Pat, who she was also the mom on Eight Simple Rules.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Katie Sagal.
Yes. He's like, oh my gosh, Pat, my dad's coming. And so Pat literally has the floor eat all the debris in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about this movie that should freak you out is the house turns on the family. Like, she becomes...
Well, you just gave it away, Jeremy.
Oh, sorry.
Well,
spoiler.
See, that's funny because this is one of the few I've heard of, because I've been bringing this up in conversation a lot lately with friends. You know, hey, did you used to watch those movies? Because they're going to do a marathon. And a lot of friends my age have said, Smart House, I loved that movie, but it freaked me out.
What time? Okay. What time?
Listen, that's 2:55 on Memorial Day, p.m.
Woo! Wow, that's prime.
People like that one.
Yes. Yeah. All right, definitely put that one on the DVR.
Okay.
I just wanted to say two that did not make the list this time around, besides Jumping Ship, that I was disappointed. Under Wraps did not make it, which is my all-time favorite Disney Channel original movie. And Luck of the Irish didn't make the list either, which is a great movie as well.
Yeah, I was surprised by that one too.
Hmm. Yeah, I've heard of both of those.
They played Luck of the Irish, I think back in March. I saw it randomly scrolling through the DVR or through the guide. It was like on at 4 o'clock in the morning on Disney Channel, and I recorded it because it's so good.
Probably near St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if they're holding out on the other 48 to do, like, on big holidays or big Friday nights or something. I don't know.
Maybe, like, Labor Day, they'll do another weekend marathon. That would be great.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So, yeah, those right there, you know, DVR a couple of those, or all of them. I would say all of them. But, you know, if you only have limited time.
I'm carving out my Memorial Day. This is all I'm doing.
Good. Good.
That's a lie. I take it back. But I will watch them all, I promise.
Definitely. And I want to hear from listeners, and so tweet us or email us if you have a Disney Channel original movie that you loved that we didn't say. And again, I haven't seen a lot of the newer ones, so if there's one that I absolutely have to see, let me know, and I promise I will watch it and give my feedback.
time for another match in a game. And now here's your host, Match in a Jimmy.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. It's good to be here once again for another match header game, and it's good to have a special guest player this week, as David is joining us, and he's doesn't know what he's in for. So look out. These games are always amazing. I was actually thinking back today to the last time we played a game with guests on, and what a disaster that was. But we had a good time.
We did.
And so, anyways, so today's game is called You Did What? To Who? For How Many Jelly Beans? Anyway, so this game is all about, I'm going to give you the name of a celebrity, and you have to tell me if they have ever voiced a Disney character in an animated Disney film. Not including Pixar, not including straight-to-DVD sales, nothing like that, of the official Disney animated canon.
Okay.
Everybody understand?
Yep.
Yeah, we did really bad at the last celebrity voice game, but I'm ready.
And we'll just go in order, Derek, Matt, David, and just down the line like that. Okay, so the first one is this. Ready? Will Ferrell ever voiced a Disney animated character? Derek?
No.
Matt?
No.
And David?
No.
All three say no. All three are correct. Very good.
Yeah.
He's not
beneath Disney.
He was Megamind.
Yeah, he's DreamWorks property.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, next one. Ready? Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Has he ever voiced a Disney animated character? Derek?
Yes.
Matt?
Yes.
David?
No.
The correct answer is yes.
The voice of Jordan. What's his face on Treasure Planet.
Yeah, the main character. I forget his name.
Me
right
too.
Now.
Treasure Planet. What, have four people seen that?
Yeah, and one of those is too many because I wish I could take it back.
Oh man.
See, I don't like going first because I tried to like pause as if I was thinking to throw the other two off.
Okay,
we can go. Let's go first. Let's trade places going first.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, that's good. All right, Matt's going to go first this time.
I'll go first this time, okay?
Matt. Okay, thank you, Matt.
Mel Gibson.
Yes.
Mel. Yes. David?
Oh, yes.
And Derek?
Yes.
Yes is correct across the board. Voice of John Smith in.
Yep.
Ah, yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Another winner.
Yeah, yep. For real.
That's a great movie.
Please stop.
I get chills every time Grandmother Willow at the end says the, you know your path, child, now follow it. And she starts breathing real heavy. I'm getting chills right now.
She's still on a respirator.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you right now, I would be glad to have a Grandmother Willow.
All right. Moving on. Roseanne Barr.
Yes.
Yes.
Derek. Matt.
Yes.
All three say yes. All three are correct.
You are picking real winners with these movies, Jeremy.
Yep.
Well, I'm trying to be diverse. I was going to say, you want to talk about nobody seeing Treasure Planet. Nobody saw Home on the Range, so. Anyways.
Oh, man.
All right. Next one. Derek's going first. Jodie Foster.
No.
Matt?
A little patch of heaven way out west.
Oh my gosh.
That's a great one. Yes. Oh, no. Jodie Foster, no.
David. Yes. Yes.
David says yes, and the answer is no. Jodie Foster has not voiced a Disney.
Well, clearly you three have not seen the Silence of the Lambs animated film. So
yes, it's terrifying.
I think it's the sequel to Home on the Range, actually. So
yeah,
there you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Buffalo Bill.
All right, next one. Ryan Reynolds. Matt, your turn to go first.
No.
David.
No.
And Derek.
No.
Everybody says no, and everybody's correct. The answer is no. Next one, Glenn Close.
Glenn Close. No.
Derek.
Yes.
And Matt.
I'm about to price is right you and say yes.
And the correct answer is yes.
What?
The voice of Kala in Tarzan. Mother
that
Gorilla.
That just shows what an incredible actress she is, because I didn't even know it.
There you go. Yes.
From Cruella DeVille to the mother of Tarzan, what a woman.
Mm. Not only the mother of Tarzan, the gorilla mother of Tarzan.
My gosh.
What That's right. Woman. I knew that because she sings the song on the soundtrack.
Yep.
Gorilla as in G-O, not G-U. She's not a rebel fighter.
She will be in her next role.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that. Appreciate it. Okay, next one. Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty.
Yes.
Matthew.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
All three say yes, and all three are incorrect.
Oh,
Warren Beatty. Warren Beatty doesn't have time for your Disney animated films. He's got to make movies like Dick Tracy.
Well, I was going to say, I knew he was in Dick Tracy, so I thought maybe like there was another Disney tie-in. I don't know.
Nope. All right, next one. Raven Simone. Raven Simone.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
David.
No. It's no.
It's too late. You already said your answer, Matt.
What's my official answer?
I'll let you change it. You're fine.
Okay, no.
Well, if we're talking about the Cheetah Girls films, then yes, but I don't think other than that, no.
I'm going to say no as well.
The correct answer is no. Everybody is correct. Okay, moving on. Whose turn is it to go?
David.
I can go.
Okay. Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Phoenix.
No.
Derek.
Yes.
And Matt.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The correct answer is yes.
Right.
He was a voice in, you ready for another obscure one? Brother Bear. He was.
Oh my gosh.
That's right.
These films are films that they gladly close the vault on. Yeah.
And all the ones you're talking about are between like 2000 and 2005.
Well, you didn't have a lot of celebrities doing voices. Like big time celebrities doing voices.
Yeah, I think that's funny how when they started actually doing that, the movies declined in quality.
Yeah.
All right. Well, next one. Derek, you go first.
Chevy Chase Lounge. No.
Matt.
No.
David. I'm gonna say yes, just to change it up.
Just to change it up. Well, unfortunately, that change is not gonna help you because the answer is no.
What was he in, Jeremy? Atlantis?
He was not in any.
He was in Vacation.
Yes. Okay. Let's see, Matt, your turn. James Woods.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Do I know Derek. Who that is?
Yeah, you know who it is.
He was in Straight Talk with Dolly Parton.
Oh, yes.
Please.
Totally.
As if I've seen that movie. Come on.
That's a brilliant movie, so I'll send you the DVD. I have it at home.
Great. I'll be waiting by my mailbox every day. I'm going to say...
I like David Zahn. He gets me.
I'm going to say... No.
Correct answer is yes. Nah. James Woods, the voice of?
Hades.
Hades. There you go.
Oh, yes. I can picture him. Okay.
Alrighty.
He looks like Hades.
Let's go way back into the 70s. 80s, 60s, whatever time he was big. Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart.
Yes.
All right, David says yes. Derek?
Yes.
And Matt?
Yes.
Everybody says yes. Everybody's correct. Bob Newhart, anybody know who he's the voice of?
Bernard.
Bernard, very good. Bernard and the Rescuers. Excellent. All right, Demi Moore.
Thank you.
Demi Moore.
Demi Moore.
Ooh. Demi Moore. Is it Demi or Demi?
Demi, I don't know.
I don't know. You just say it fast enough and no one knows what you said, so.
Bruce Willis is ex-wife.
Right. No.
Derek says no. Matt says
no.
And David says
no.
Everybody says no. Everybody's incorrect.
Oh.
Miss Moore was the voice
Wait a second. She's in Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yep, voice of Esmeralda in Hunchback
Dang
of Notre Dame.
Dang it.
What?
I think I knew that. As soon as... Gosh, dang.
I thought that was Jennifer Lopez.
It's not.
I thought it was Cher.
Oh.
Quasi.
That God Help the Outcast song would have been epic if that were Cher.
Oh my god. I want Cher to sing that so bad now. Man, that's amazing. And by the way, it was her 70th birthday the other day, so happy birthday, Cher. I know she's a faithful listener. So.
She is.
All right, two more. Here we go. Chris Farley. Chris Farley. Whose turn is it? I think it's Matt's. Matt?
Yeah,
Chris Farley.
I'm going to say no.
David?
No.
And Derek?
No.
Everybody says no, and everybody's correct. Chris Farley, not a Disney animated voice. However, he was going to be a voice of a DreamWorks character, and then he passed away. Anybody know which character?
Shrek.
Very good. He was the original choice for the voice of Shrek.
You don't get points for that.
I'm bowing right now. You can't see it, but I am.
That was extra extra credit. Okay, and last one. Barbra Streisand. David?
I'm going to say no, because I would have remembered that.
Derek?
I'm going to say no, but I'm very interested if she was.
And Matt?
I'll say no with no caveat.
Okay.
And the correct answer is no, she is not a voice. But I hope she will consider it one day. Maybe her and Cher can do a Hunchback sequel or something and reprise God Bless the Outcast. That'd
no
be nice.
No one wants to see a Hunchback sequel. Let's give them something good.
Actually, they already
there
made
is a Hunchback there sequel.
Oh, that's right. And like I said, none of us saw it. So
with Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah.
I remember that because it was on the opening of one of my other Disney VHSs.
Oh, she really is in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, she plays the new love interest that Quasi has.
Yeah, he kind of got the shaft in that movie because the
Didn't
whole movie is about be true to yourself, beauty is on the inside, but then he doesn't even get the beautiful girl. Like, she goes with the outwardly handsome guy at the end.
So. Bye, Quasi. Have fun in your tower.
Take us out, Steve.
Congratulations, Matthew! You have won another Mad Cheddar game!
Oh, final score. Yeah, Matt got 14, Derek had 13, and David had 9. So thank you all for playing.
Join us next time. Say Mad Cheddar Podcast. Say Mad Cheddar
God help the outcasts.
On today's show, we've got another top five list, and this week we're going to be listing our top five Disney characters. But not movie characters. No, this week we're talking about characters that are original to Disney parks, whether they are audio animatronics or maybe they're streetmosphere characters or you see them on a screen or maybe you don't see them at all. Ooh. But that is what we're going to be listening today. And David has graciously agreed to stay for this segment as well. So you'll be getting 4 top 5 lists on this show.
That's 20.
Yes. Very good math. So I won't make David go first. So Matt, why don't you do the honors?
Oh, thank you. I'm hoping this one isn't one of Jeremy's, but it might be. And I hated this attraction. I'm glad it's gone. But my number 5 comes from the Tiki Room under new management, and it is the character Aoa, the goddess of disaster. Not only because it was a great animatronic, and probably the highlight of that show, well, most definitely the highlight of that show, but because she was voiced by Amelia McQueen from my beloved childhood Adventures in Wonderland.
Yes.
And so she's, I'm glad that she's found a home, albeit inanimately, at Trader Sam's.
She doesn't do anything there?
Her eyes light up, I think. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Seems like a waste of a good figure.
I know. I thought maybe if you ordered a certain drink, she would do something.
I don't know for sure. I haven't been there yet. I just was going from what I've seen on videos.
I see.
She just gets lit while you get lit.
So. That's right. Don't even play, Derek. Which drink is it? We know you know.
I'm not telling. Well, that's a good one. She is arguably the only good thing to come out of that iteration.
Yeah. And that honestly made, like, when I think of top 5 Disney characters, she came to my mind first. Although I put her at number 5 just because she's from that horrid attraction.
You'd have to dock points for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's good. She's fierce.
Mm-hmm.
I like her.
I'm going to piggyback off of Matt's answers because my number 5 is a collective group because I can't just single out one. And I'm going to say all 4 Tiki Birds in the Tiki Room, especially in their, you know, now that it's been kind of retrofitted back to the original show and they got rid of the under new management. So those 4 really are now the stars again rather than Iago and Zazu. So they just make me happy. I love the 1950s feel. I love the innocence that they bring with them, and just it takes you back to a different time. And I still think we could have a good Tiki Room movie one day.
Ooh.
Oh,
help us.
Do you all remember the movie Polly? Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
See, there's a good bird movie. So
I never saw it.
That movie made me cry.
So good. So good.
That'll be at the midnight premiere.
Did the bird die or something? Why would you cry?
I don't remember. I just remember crying.
No, the bird doesn't die, but the bird also, like, there's a part, remember, where at the beginning, spoiler if you haven't seen it, where he, like, well, he's looking for his girl, the girl that is, like, his owner. And so he travels to all these different places trying to find her. And then at one point he's with this old lady and they're traveling in an RV around and she gets sick and dies and it's really sad. And then at one point he becomes like a slave because he can like talk and like perform. And they take advantage of him.
Oh my gosh.
I just halfway through saying that I realized how stupid it sounded. And so I just better stop.
In the Tiki Room movie, they could go on a road search for Rosita.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Rosita?
Yeah. And Yura, they can go looking for you. What's her name? Aoa.
Maybe. Or she's put a spell on them or something.
Yes.
Maybe she works at some dive bar.
Yeah.
like Derek was talking about earlier with the eyes lighting up. Special drinks.
Yeah, I'm with
and
you.
At the end, the Tiki Room actually does fly away.
There you go.
Yeah. A twist.
That's the after the credits scene.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I do understand picking all 4 because I don't really know which one would stand out above the others necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think any of us are surprised they made your list. But they're good. I'm going to buck the trend with my number 5 and not pick one from the Tiki Room. I'm going to go over to the Carousel of Progress in Tomorrowland and pick the dad from the current iteration of that attraction. John, right? That's his name?
Sure.
Sure.
I feel like the wife maybe calls him John. I don't know. Anyway, I just feel like you'd want to just, he's eternally optimistic. I feel like he's kind of Walt-like. I mean, I didn't know Walt, but I feel like just that idea of whatever happens in the future, let's just roll with it. Because, you know, like, there's a stigma about old people bucking technology and things that change. But, you know, John's like, this is great. I like all these new things. I'm just getting the hang of it. And I feel like that's kind of how Walt was, you know, always looking towards the future.
Well, he's kind of just sitting there while his wife gets to know all the new things.
Yeah.
You got an easy job, John.
There's always that kind of uncomfortable moment when she's in there with the washing machine or something? I don't know. You know, very, very, very 30 years ago was the woman is doing the ironing and the laundry and the painting and husband's just reclining in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I always feel the weight of PC on me in that moment.
Derek, John's sounding like a bit of a monster.
Yeah.
No, John is a good man. And he's like the highlight of that attraction. I mean, he really carries.
He kind of looks like your dad.
He does not. He looks like every American dad. And that's who he is. He is every American's dad. You just can't help but love him. He carries that attraction. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like it's a classic attraction, and he's a classic character in it.
I think he might be on opioids. I don't know. He sings a lot at random.
That's true. And that's why I like him.
Okay.
I guess I'll go next. my number five, hairy-legged pirate from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
And the reason I chose that specific pirate is because that's the one every time that I go on that ride, I look at and think, man, it must have taken hours to sew each of those individual leg hairs into that thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's the one that I just have a massive amount of just applause for. Whoever was sitting backstage sewing leg hair into a pirate. Honey, what did you do today? I sewed leg hair into a pirate. Yeah. So, yeah, really, that's just an applause for whoever created that beast of a leg.
Yeah. It's I heard it was a real leg.
Ew. Oh, did you?
Yeah, and they freeze it every night.
Maybe it's Walt's leg, because didn't we hear that he was in a cryo chamber?
That's right. There's the plot for your Magic Kingdom movie right there.
Yeah. Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
It's already kind of nasty, because you get up close and personal with that leg when you ride it.
It's funny to listen to the people that, I mean, I guess first-timers or whatever, in the boat as they ride under, and they just kind of naturally look up because he's dangling over, and they notice the leg hairs. I mean, everybody usually hear it in the boat a few times.
Yeah, and y'all know that leg hair is falling off on people's faces. Yeah,
gross.
Go home and put it in a jar.
So that's my number five.
My number four is from old Epcot, and it is Dreamfinder. I like Figment, but Dreamfinder, I don't know. I just miss the old Journey to Imagination. And I used to remember, I loved that opening scene where they're on that big bagpipe-looking blimp flying through the air, and Dreamfinder's talking and all that. He just was he was like the figurehead of Epcot for me when I was smaller, and I just love him.
He was like Santa Claus, kinda. That's how I always pictured him when I watch videos.
Like a giant Norwegian Santa Claus.
Exactly. If it's okay, I'll go ahead and give my number four, because I'm going to piggyback off of this. My number four is Figment. And I was so torn. I felt like I only wanted to include one of them. And I was so torn between Dreamfinder and Figment, because they're so different. But like they add so much to that attraction from the videos I've seen of the original version of it. And I do like how Dreamfinder always has a smile on his face, because Figment can be a little, you know, a little annoying.
Aggravating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Dreamfinder, you know, is constantly like, you know, treats him like his son. But I do think that Figment, the fact that the fans demanded him Like, the fact that the fan outcry when he was basically removed from the attraction made Disney bring him back to the attraction, like, I feel like that has to say something about his lasting power. And also, like, when you think about an attraction that just talks about your imagination and you think about the other future world attractions, like, that can be kind of a boring idea. But the fact that they made it, you know, they made Figment kind of your host and your narrator throughout the whole thing who takes you into this journey, like, that was a really good way to get kids excited about it and to, you know, make it more interesting than it could have been otherwise.
Yeah. Come ride this boring ride. It's got a dinosaur in it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was blasphemy. I understand. I love the ride.
Yeah. And so it was tough, but I had to go with Figment. I mean, he's what, 34 years old now?
He's a lovable fellow.
He is, indeed.
And still passionate about imagination after all those years.
I do wish he would spray something other than skunk in that scene. Like, couldn't you have done, like, cookies or something?
He's mischievous.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cookies aren't mischievous.
Well, I mean, unless you, like, took one out of the cookie jar while your mom wasn't watching.
He could spray you with mace.
Yeah, there you go.
Feel the magic.
Yeah.
He could introduce John, and John could spray you with mace.
Yeah. I don't know why y'all are attacking John. He's a good man.
John's got a dark side. John, he's got a closet with bones in it somewhere.
That's right.
He's of the greatest generation.
Mm-hmm.
He's of every generation.
No, that's true. He doesn't age.
With a new skeleton in every closet.
My number four. Well, hold on, I'm gonna switch because my number three was Figment, and so I have a reserve, and so I was just gonna comment about Figment as well. I think that even though he is annoying to me, he is an essentially classic Disney character. I just think that when you think Disney, you think Figment. Like, he just inhabits all those things.
You say that, but I have a question for Matt. Is he more annoying now than originally?
He's pretty much the same.
Okay.
I think in the original one, he lacked the... he wasn't as, like, mischievous, mess things up kind of Figment as much as he was just kind of childlike, like, fascinated by everything, curious.
Yeah.
So that kind of changed. So, I mean, in that respect, I guess, maybe, but...
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling I get.
He's a teenager now in purple dragon years.
Okay, so my number four is going to be, hold on, I gotta make a note so I don't forget, Captain Rex from Star Tours.
Mm.
This is a character, it's an, you know, he's was in the original, he's no longer in the attraction. However, you can still see him in the queue when you walk by with all the droids that are kind of sitting there.
It's right when you turn the corner into the droid room. And you can hear him, too, kind of saying broken phrases from the old spiel.
Yeah, which I think is kind of fun. You know, that's like a nice little touch. But in the original tracks, you know, he was the one that took off, voiced by Paul Reubens, who is also known as Pee Wee Herman. And just a fun character overall. That kind of neurotic, lovable character that we don't want to be friends with them, but we want to root for them kind of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a rumor that he's going to be in episode 8.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
I just made that up. That's not
a rumor. Oh, you jerk.
Along with John.
Yeah. Johnny.
What if his name's like Mark or something and I just made up John? I feel like the wife says something about John.
I think you're right. Okay. I'm going to look it up while Mr. David's going.
Okay.
John sounds like a very generic American name. No offense to anyone out there who has that name. But when I think of the name John, I think all American dad.
Yeah, see?
My number four would be the Yeti monster on Expedition Everest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's, you know, that's not giving him his due credit. Maybe it's her, him or her, their due credit to put them so low on the list, but I got some good ones up above this, so number four it is. One of the reasons I like that one is because I like I like thrill rides and I love scary movies. And so as a kid, when that ride came out, I was all excited to see the Yeti monster. And I think they do a good job of building the anticipation all through the queue and then into the ride itself. Like, when are you actually going to see it? And you see projections and all this stuff. But then when you actually get to see the maniac, lives up to all of the expectations I had. And it's a little bit, I think it's one of the more, the scarier animatronics in the parks. I'm like, I gotta tip my hat to you, Disney. Took a risk with that one, and I liked it.
Even as stationary, what do they call it? BMO Disco Yeti?
Yeah.
He's still pretty frightening when you get really close and you see how big he is, and you catch a glimpse in one of the flashes. It is still scary.
Wait, does he not move anymore?
No.
I will see. This is why he didn't make my list, because those first couple years, I will agree. Like, he would swing his arm down at you, you know?
Yeah.
Well, now he doesn't. He, like, something happened and he's not really fluid, and so they just shine a strobe light on him.
Oh, what a crock.
It is. But he is still terrifying. Like, he's huge.
Okay, then I'm going to clarify my statement. I want to say my number four is Yeti when he was moving and able to move his arm, because gosh,
handicapped Yeti.
Yeah, he doesn't even move anymore. Oh, jeez. No.
He still roars.
Oh, well, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people still always scream when you go by him. So. Mm.
He's still intimidating.
Yeah, he is.
At like 30 feet tall, he's pretty intimidating.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, that's my four.
It's a good one.
Thank you.
Number three. Also, well, my last one was from Epcot, but the rest of mine are from the Magic Kingdom. And this one is Big Al from Country Bear Jamboree. Ooh. And I did not grow up going to the Country Bear Jamboree. In fact, I think the first time I did it was, I don't know, I was a teenager or something. And so my appreciation of Big Al and that whole show grew with my love and respect for Walt Disney and everything that he did in the parks in the 50s and 60s before his death. And Big Al is just a lovable big old teddy bear, for real. And he's drunk, so that's, you know, added bonus to his lovability.
Mm. Yeah. Big Al's a lush.
Yeah.
I did not love this attraction, but
you don't have to love the attraction.
I was going to say, I did watch it a few weeks ago, and I will say that Al always gets the most laughs from the crowd. And there is that great moment at the end where someone else is singing a different song, and the curtain just opens on Big Al, and
they're all singing a different song. It's like the finale number.
Oh, yeah, but he pops out before the rest of the group does. And he's just singing his own little ditty. Like, it has nothing to do. Yeah, yeah. It's a great moment. So, okay, he's not on my list, but I will give it to you. He's classic.
Which his song, Blood on the Saddle, I think the last time we discussed Big Al, we said that was a song about hemorrhoids.
Yes.
Big Al's got a lot of problems. I think we're finally realizing why Big Al drinks like he does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And all these characters, they just have secret sides that we never know.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John and Big Al are secretly
tortured souls.
I think Big Al probably drinks so much because he wanted Henry's spot, but he was overlooked as the host. And that was his big break.
Because Henry's big trick is putting raccoons in his hat.
That's right. And that's why he interrupts the finale, because he's like, I'll show y'all why I should have been the host of this thing.
Where's my preparation H?
I used to be someone.
Yes. Well, we're giving all sorts of backstories to these kids.
Yeah, I used to date Goldilocks.
Yeah.
My gosh.
I've always thought that the statue at the front of the park should be Disney and Big Al holding hands.
He made it what it is.
That's right.
Big Al was, I don't know if this is the right story. I know Country Bear Jamboree is in, it's either in one of my books or one of my many like videos about Walt Disney's life, and the Country Bear Jamboree has a little section in there, Walt's Last Laugh. And I don't know if it was with Big Al like specifically, but the picture in this book and or on this documentary shows him standing at the board with Mark Davis, and there's a picture of Big Al on the board. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming, you know, what happened was they were in design for this. He came in and was, of course, looking over their shoulder and seeing what they were doing, and apparently had a really tremendous laughing spell by looking at all the pictures for the different bears. It cracked him up, and it was one of the last things he reviewed before his death.
That's funny. I had heard that one of the reasons that Walt wanted to create this attraction is because he had a severe drinking problem and would get crunk a lot, and by and looking at Big Al by comparison just made him feel better about himself.
That too. That yeah. too. That was all part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I think a bus driver told me that. That's true.
Oh, yeah. So, anyway, just keep that in mind next time you go see Country Bears.
My number three is from Matthew's favorite attraction, Pirates of the Caribbean. And yay. I feel like I had to kind of pick one character. Like, there are a lot of good pirates in this attraction. But if I had to pick the one that stands out to me the most and kind of sums up that attraction, it's the auctioneer. Because, like, he's funny. Like, as an outsider, you can ride the attraction and be like, oh, what he's saying is funny. But you also recognize that, like, you wouldn't really want to mess with him necessarily, you know? If you really lived in that city, you definitely would not want to be a woman in that city.
No, not at all.
But I feel like he's maybe the most memorable of all the pirates. Like his line, I'm not sponging for rum, it be gold I'm after. Like I always quote that. That sounds stupid. Like I don't just say that to people in my office. But of all the lines in Pirates of the Caribbean, that one always gets in my head when I think about it. So, and you know, he's selling something winsome winch. He's got a lot of good lines.
Yeah.
Now that I do say a lot.
Yeah. Stout hearted and corn fed she be.
Terrible way to describe someone.
Someone from the Midwest, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah, for real.
My number three is a character that you see, but you have to. Sometimes you don't know it's him, but you hear. But maybe not anymore because they've changed the attraction a little bit. But, anyways, I'm talking about Wilson, who is featured on the Kilimanjaro Safaris. And I like Wilson because of his accent. I think it's a fun accent. And, you know, he's just kind of your guide that as you go through. And he's on the TV screens, like when you're waiting in the queue, along with this lady. I don't know who she is. She might have a name. I don't remember. But Wilson's on there talking about how we need to...
She's kind of annoying, as I recall.
Yeah, she's very 90s looking. She's got that like pixie haircut.
And many species are endangered. Poachers.
Wilson gets on there, you know, and he, you know, Simba one, you know, kind of thing.
I don't think that he's featured on the attraction anymore. Am I wrong?
No, that's what I was saying. I think they changed it recently because the last time I wrote it, I don't remember seeing or hearing him, and it really kind of upset me. So,
yeah.
Anyways, Wilson, always a faithful guide, you know, and he just wants to do good in the world.
He passed away.
Yeah, he's not on the attraction, but that's okay. I mean, Dreamfinder's gone too.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, maybe they're in retirement together. We'll just, they got a little condo. They're in
condo. Fort Myers,
and they're just kind of enjoying.
Let's not go down that road. Are we on number two? Is it my number two time?
No, David.
Wait,
do I need to give my
third one?
Yeah, go. You may go.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Mine is, I might be bending the rules with this one, so bear that in mind. My favorite ride is the Tower of Terror, and this, I noticed it the last couple times I went on the ride, when you get down to the basement portion after the ride has finished and they're giving you the final send-off, there is a terrifying ventriloquist dummy that is sitting on one of the little chairs in there.
Yep.
And I don't know. I feel like I love pointing it out to people, and I'm I just always want to give a little kudos to whoever salt and peppered that little piece of horrifying paraphernalia into the basement of the Tower of Terror. Catches my eye every time. And I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
Did you grow up reading Goosebumps books?
Did I? Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that always remind you of Night of the Living Dummy? That's what I think of every time I see
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. It's from yep. an actual Twilight Zone episode called The Dummy. I've been obsessed with the Twilight Zone since I rode the Tower of Terror in 1994 when it first opened. So I've seen all the episodes, and The Dummy is one of the best. And obviously most creepy. You know, 50s horror and sci-fi is strange anyway, but it's good.
I've heard that the lobby and that little basement scene are littered with references to Twilight Zone.
Yeah, the only other one I know, because I guess I should go look it up and look for these lists and find them, but the only one I know is there's a pair of broken glasses somewhere from episode called Time Enough at Last with Burgess Meredith, and I can't remember if it's in the library, which makes sense because he likes to read. It's probably in there. Mm.
Yeah, I'm cool. just waiting for the day that they turn the Tower of Terror into an actual, like, bookable hotel. Because I will be there in a heartbeat.
Mm. Or Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was going to say, the rumor now is
they better not. They better not. Oh, they already took the moving Yeti away.
Well, was it on here that we talked about Disney kind of being interested in giving up their rights to the Twilight Zone, not paying those anymore? Or to CBS for the Twilight Zone?
I mean, that's...
I do remember hearing that.
Yeah, that's what kind of sparked the rumor for Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm.
Disney, don't be a fool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that dummy is terrifying. I remember the first time I saw it, it was like, did anybody else see that? That was creepy.
Mm-hmm. If they just, like, maybe programmed it to, I don't know, just blink. Or just kind of turn its head Stop. Ever so slightly.
Yeah.
That would be terrific.
No. Oh, that gives me, like, goosebumps just thinking about it. That is creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Goosebumps. My number two is from my... Oh, number two! My number two is from my favorite attraction of all time, and that is Pirates of the Caribbean. And it was so hard to choose between the first captain of the ship, which I guess was supposed to be Blackbeard-ish. He had the little things tied on his beard and all that stuff. But my answer is not him or the auctioneer. My answer is the Hatbox Pirate. Yes, the Hatbox Pirate. It's in the last scene... the burning village, and he's the one that's got one foot on the dock, one foot in the boat, and he has all the fancy hats stacked
up. Oh, yeah.
And it's so great because he's I'm sure the boat's anchored, but it's just a genius figure because he's literally teetering between the dock and the boat, which is in the water. The hats are going back and forth. And if you ever go back and watch the little 1960s TV special about the opening of Pirates at Disneyland, when Walt was kind of doing the walkthrough for the television audience in a very Walt fashion, he just singled in on him. Like, of all the pirates he could have chosen, he singled in on him and gave this whole elaborate backstory about how before they started burning the village, he went into the hat store and looted all the fancy hats because he has an obsession with fancy hats. And he's trying to get them all on the boat before the village burns down around him. And that's just like the leg hair man or any other figure we could talk about or character. The backstory is just so elaborate, and then you just pass right by him, and nobody ever, you know, hey, look at him. He must like hats, but I do.
Well, who would have known that Walt had a soft spot for the hat guy and Big Al?
Yes. Walt had lots of soft spots. That's why we like Walt.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of fancy hats, my number two is at the Country Bear Jamboree, and it's not Big Al, even though I appreciate Big Al. But it is Teddy Bear.
Of course.
I just love her to pieces. And I just think she is so big and fabulous. And you talk about backstory. You know, there is some, you know, she has some great, great backstories. I'm obsessed with old Hollywood actresses from, you know, the golden years of Hollywood. Sunset Boulevard, Norma Desmond. I get the same kind of vibe from Teddy Bear. Like, you know, she was a young starlet. She really was, you know, big back in the day. And now she's kind of... No, she's classy.
Are
I
you
mean,
kidding me? she come would up do... and see me sometime. There's an opening. No, man in that room.
she says that, but she's like a Blanche. She's like Blanche from Golden Girls.
Blanche even is a hoe.
Even though she's experienced, it's her choice, okay? And she's the one in control.
Oh, gosh.
She's made her way through all those other bears. I know she has.
Mm-hmm.
Well, usually bears don't like females. But anyways, so I think that...
Bazinga!
Oh, gosh. Okay, let's get it back here. I think that she... It's just then now she's kind of on this tour with these bears here, and she knows she's bigger than that, or she used to be, but she's kind of faded as time goes by because, you know, how Hollywood is. They want the young and the beautiful, and she's kind of aging now. But I just still think she's wonderful.
No, they're not on tour anymore. They're like in the Branson of the bear world.
Yeah, they've settled down in like Pikeville, Kentucky.
But the Bear Hall for the Country Bear Jamboree, paying tribute to Teddy Bera.
Mm-hmm. The last of the big time swingers. Yeah, but you know she's in control. She'll do what she has to do, but it's on her terms. She's not going to let any man take advantage.
Mm. You go, girl.
Yeah. Who does she channel? I mean, she channels like every like 50s and 60s country lady, but there's one, Loretta Lynn.
No, hold on. I remember.
Tanya Tucker.
Oh, May.
West.
May? What?
No, Mae West is like a 1920s actress.
Y'all, no. I am scrolling through some country bear photos on Google, and there are some weird looking folks in that show.
Like in the audience?
I'm talking about some of these bears.
Oh,
yeah. Look like they have been on tour for much too long.
No, they're just from the hills. That's the deal.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That one blowing the jug is one of my favorites.
Yes. Have you ever seen a Goofy movie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lester's Possum Park, you know, is inspired by Country Bear Jamboree.
Stop. Are you serious? Oh,
I mean, surely it has to be, I would think.
I think everything like that stemmed from Country Bears. I mean, that's the birthplace of, like, Chuck E. Cheese and every show like that.
Yeah.
Y'all know how people have bear rugs on their carpet or on their floor. You think Walt took home like Big Al or Teddy Bear and put
no, but that's put her a out great merchandise idea. I would so buy one.
Oh, that's hideous.
And just for the record, Teddy Bear, she wears a Mae West inspired feather boa. So
I do get that. I saw one movie recently with Mae West, and it was a little too much for me. She's a little too much woman for me.
But you know, like, this is a name probably nobody will know, but Tallulah Bankhead, she was an old actress in like the 40s and 50s, and she was the inspiration for Cruella de Vil. So she kind of had that like darling, you know, kind of a feel to her. And so I just picture Teddy Bear like fitting in with that kind of style.
Okay. All right. My number two is over in Animal Kingdom. I've talked about this guy a lot, but I really like him. He just makes me laugh. It's Dr. Seeker from...
Oh, death.
Oh. Wait, you don't like him, or that's your number one?
No, I don't like him.
What?
I mean, I don't like despise him. It's just a hello there, and everybody goes, hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah,
it's not really that funny.
Okay, well, first of all, to clarify, this is the guy from the pre-show, and he's also your narrator on Dinosaur. Everyone always laughs when he's got the hand puppet. Like, hello,
Eric, you are just getting shafted.
What the heck? They shoot down every one of my answers unless it has to do with Pirates of the Caribbean.
No, I like it.
Okay, good. He's so quotable. I think this is the one pre-show where I haven't got tired of it yet, where I'm not like, okay, can we just ride the attraction? Like, I genuinely enjoy it from start to finish, where she walks away and he's like, we're in. It's not even funny.
It's not.
But I like it. And I like when he says, flash photography? I wouldn't. It alters the homing signal, and that's not good. And he's
and
also...
That's all you need to know.
He's also that's a good... Yeah. He's also a good narrator, like, on the attraction, though. Like, you feel like you're on his team, and he's not going to lead you astray. I don't know. I think he's a great character.
He sent you on purpose.
I know.
To the most dangerous period of whatever it is.
He's a shady dude.
There's no reason why ever given. Like, why do you want to send us there so bad? Why do you have to override Felissa Rashad and send us to
bring
the dangerous
back
time?
The Iguanodon?
Does he not live some early, like an hour before the meteor shower?
No.
And why couldn't this heifer go back in time? Why do I got to do it?
You don't. You have to board that time rover by choice. You can always back out.
I mean, I'm just saying, if he wants this dinosaur so bad, he should hop on this thing.
Yeah, get on it.
I like Dr. Seeker. David, you go so I can attack your answer.
Well, listen, talk about, though, typecasting, because that guy ended up playing a lab nerd on CSI for a lot of years. Right. So,
oh, there you go.
You know.
I like him. I mean, not enough to make me watch CSI, but I like
him. Mine is, I'm going to say a two-part answer. It's really not. But the great movie ride narrators.
Okay.
I'm referring both to the one that starts us off at the beginning of the ride and then the gangster slash mobster who hops on midway through. And the reason I enjoy these characters so much is because I love not knowing what you're going to get. You either get the person who, like, loves their job and is totally in it, or you get the people who, like, you can tell have no interest in what they're talking about whatsoever. So, like, when the gangster comes on, she's like, oh, no, there's a mobster. And, you know, and then runs out. And I always, I always love seeing how intense we're going to get on that ride.
We've talked about this at length on our show, about how those cast members seem to get worse and worse every time I ride it.
Yeah.
Well, now their job is like cut in half because Robert Frost or whatever his name is.
Robert Frost.
Robert Osborne. Osborne is their host or whatever.
Yeah. They have much less dialogue now. But I swear, like, the Jungle Cruise skippers, for the most part, I feel like they have to earn their way up to that job. And I swear, some of those narrators for Great Movie Ride, they're at, like, the pretzel stand one day, and the next day they're like, come host this ride. We need somebody.
Well, that you laugh, but that is kind of true because that's not an equity job. So they're technically not actors. They're just cast members who maybe seem a little more eccentric when they get hired, I guess. So,
totally. Yeah. I'm telling you right now, if I did that job, I would be so melodramatic.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Like, when that mobster came out, I would start screaming bloody murder and, like, basically force them to drag me into that little mob shack that they have.
The mob,
you know,
shack.
You say that. I have a job where I have to do a little bit of entertaining, but it's kind of the same thing with every...
Talking about the ambulance thing?
No.
I'm going to put this needle in your arm. It's going to hurt.
You got, like, puppet shows going on in the back.
That's a great idea, though. No, my current job, while I'm still going through the process.
Oh, cool.
And I enjoy my job. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I do. But I absolutely understand that after about the 300th time that you've done it, or the 10th time that day, you lose the enthusiasm for it. You know,
I hear you on that.
I sympathize with the cast members, especially if it's been a long day and they've happened to be working the Great Movie Ride for a few months. And, you know, you just get to a point where you're over it. But you have to remember, this is, I forget who said this. I think it was an athlete. They said they always do their best no matter what, because it may be someone's first time seeing them or last time seeing them. And they always want to make a good impression. And I just thought, that's so true. So you got to keep that in mind if you're, you know, it may be somebody's first time ever riding Great Movie Ride. So you want them to have a good experience.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, my plan would be to make children cry at that mob scene. Like, I would feel like I was unsuccessful if I didn't have tears coming from a child's face.
Yeah. The cars are all backed up because you have, like, a 15-minute death monologue as you were talking.
Exactly.
I get
it. I'm going to stand in the way of one of those air bullets that gets shot into the wall and really play it up.
Tell Cindy Daddy won't be home for dinner tonight.
Oh, God.
Yep.
When you hear the wind in the trees.
and then I'm just going to be standing in random places, like in that Casablanca scene. I'm just going to be standing behind the two of them, just kind of watching over their shoulder.
Ta-da! That's our favorite moment, the unenergetic, unexcited ta-da. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I live for that.
That was probably his 10th time that day, too.
He was over it. That cast member was over it. We talked about that on our previous show. Go listen to it.
I will.
It was never.
What are we on now?
Number one.
Oh, yay. And I get to go. I feel like all mine are like...
lame. Yeah, yours suck.
Waka waka, if only. I have like the list that every Disney fan has. I'm just picking. No, I don't. Mine are very abstract. And they're that way. And I don't intentionally like sit down and say, can I pick the non-obvious ones? But when I was little, I loved this character so much that I made... okay, I went to a Christian school, small little Christian school, and they wouldn't let us do jack-o'-lanterns. But they let us paint pumpkins. And that's legalism at its finest, isn't it? You can't cut the pumpkins, but you can paint them. So we painted the pumpkins, and I chose this character as my theme. And I had to explain it to everyone. You can imagine the teachers and the principal's faces, like, who is that and what are you talking about? And it is the Haunted Mansion Organist. The only name I could find for him online is the creative term, the Grim Organist, and I painted a pumpkin blue and had a little face. He had his hair and a big top hat. I just think he's the best character in that whole attraction because he's so mysterious, just playing the organ and those faces coming out of the organ. That's just a great idea. Like, they sat around and thought about that. We're going to have a dude playing the organ and ghost faces coming out of the pipes. That's pretty awesome.
What's his backstory?
I don't know. He was shot in the head. I don't know.
Wow, that got dark real fast.
Yeah. No, I don't know. He went to music. He was kicked out of music school early on. He said, "I'll show you." He is really the center of the whole attraction. He killed everybody in the house when he was kicked out of music school.
There you go. Maybe Teddy Bera just dropped him like it was hot, and he can't stand it any longer.
I was going to say, your backstory sounds very similar to Hitler's backstory, actually. So
he said, "I'll never play country music again." Growing my hair out and getting a top hat.
My number one is probably the same as Derek's. And that is the Ghost Host. Was that yours, Derek?
It was. Wow.
I knew it was yours.
How? Because
when you introduced the podcast, you said, or maybe they're not seen. Like, that was such a teaser.
Oh, I didn't even think about that when I said it, to be honest.
I think that this is a great character simply because he is so, even though you don't see him, as it was just said, even though he's such an image pops into your head just by that voice. And his presence in the room, and he's just so, like, powerful. You know what I mean? Like, and he's just such a great, creepy character.
I picture Richard Simmons when I hear his voice.
What?
Just kidding.
Yeah, what did you have comments you wanted to say about him?
I mean, just, like, try to imagine that attraction without on-ride narration. You know, like, they could do it. You could hear the hinges creaking. And, like, the door knockers, like, rapping against the wall. Like, you could do it, but, oh my gosh, it wouldn't be half as interesting without "when hinges creak in doorless chambers." Like, so many lines. I mean, without that dialogue, it would be a completely different attraction. And I don't think there's any other attraction where one person just makes it. I mean, maybe that's not true. I could probably think of something, but...
Do you know what other... classic and lovable Disney character Paul Frees is responsible for voicing?
Hold on. I know this. Hold on. Oh.
Professor...
X.
No. Ludwig von Drake.
Oh, that's right. Yes, yeah. But he also does a voice in another voice in the park, too, doesn't he?
Possibly.
Let's look it up.
Anyway, just a... Oh, gosh, what a good character. So many good, memorable lines.
You want to see something fun? Go, it's on YouTube somewhere. Find Pat Carroll, who's the voice of Ursula, who I love.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
and
I've seen this.
He does the spiel of the Haunted Mansion opening as Ursula. It is divine. He's the auctioneer. Incredible. He is the auctioneer on Pirates as well.
There you go.
Hey, he made my list twice. Is he also Dr. Seeker? Because that would be crazy.
No, Paul Frees is actually likable.
Oh, wow.
I jest.
They're going to change out the pre-show next year, and you're going to be all, I really miss Dr. Seeker.
No, I'll miss Phyllis Rashad, whatever her name is, but not. Maybe they'll bring in Dr. Cosby. Dr. Cosby will be
there. Yeah, okay.
But then the attraction is just one long blackout, and you leave going, what happened?
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh, you did not go there.
You're a little sore.
Too soon? I will get over it.
My number one is these characters were only on the attraction for maybe, I think I read, 2 years. They had live mermaids on the submarine voyage in Disneyland. Mm-hmm. And they were only there for a couple of years, and I just think that is the dopest thing ever. So when the submarine would go underwater, it was these characters' responsibility to swim underwater and swim by the submarine. What a fun job.
Yeah.
I mean, besides the fact that you're eye candy for millions of people every year, but that's a lot of pressure. But that, I think, would be so cool.
Well, the rumor, it's not really a rumor. This is what Disney, like, publicized as the reason that they were gone is because, now, I can't see this happening, but maybe, is that men were jumping in the water to get to them.
Oh, my.
So I read an article on the Huffington Post that was from one of the mermaids. She did an interview, and she said that there, I think it was a sailor who actually had jumped in the water. And swam out to the rock where they all would sit and play harps and comb their hair.
They used to have like a mermaid race at the Disneyland Hotel pool too. There's this weird, what is the word I'm looking, fetish for like mermaids back then, I reckon.
I'm just telling you right now, I stand by what I've said this for years, that if someone would come up with a really banging story about mermaids, aside from The Little Mermaid and like Splash, we've got nothing.
Yeah.
That's a true whole demo. That's a whole like new world that can be explored.
Hey, so. You know the stupidest I've ever felt in my life was when I'm going to admit this because I was like captivated. Was when they showed that dadgum faux documentary on Animal Planet about the mermaid. So y'all talking about?
I don't, but don't feel bad.
I mean, it was like legitimate, like documentary. It just felt real, and it was made to be like it was real. And it wasn't until the end when they started showing like the footage, like in the quote unquote footage from the submarine, and like a very computer animated looking mermaid swimming by on the quote unquote camera, that I was like, wait.
Matt,
they did this whole, I mean, it was like these kids, they it had like the footage, like cell phone looking footage, and this thing washed up and it was a skeleton and they couldn't tell what it was and it had the tail. I was like, this can't be real. But it kept going and they were doing the DNA and they were doing all this stuff. We don't know what it is. And there's this theory about if you buy into evolution and all that stuff, then there's the evolution on land of humans. And then this other branch of the ape family went to the water and they made their home in the water and they evolved into mermaids.
Hey Matt, spoiler alert, they're never gonna find Bigfoot on Finding Bigfoot either, so
yeah, I don't watch that. I never watched that.
If it makes you feel any better, Matt, I paid $1 at some carnival to go in and look at what was supposedly the skeleton of a mermaid, and then I don't know how I missed the hot glue that glued the like top half of the torso to the bottom half. Yeah. That clearly had just come from like Walmart earlier that
day. I know that that makes me sound like an absolute idiot, but I was for real engrossed for like 50 minutes until they started showing the quote unquote. Up until then, they weren't showing footage, and they weren't showing, except for this camera thing, they weren't showing any of that stuff. So it felt real. Like, are we actually going to see it? Are you going to show it to us? Are there other theories? But then it was like, no, it's all fake.
Well, if it's okay, I would like to end the show with Matt looking like an idiot. So yeah.
At least John is not on my list.
True that.
John is a classic Disney character.
They may not have live mermaids at Disneyland anymore, but they do have them in Florida at, how do you say it? Wiki Walkie Springs. Yeah, so you can go see the live mermaids there. Just Google live mermaids Florida.
They have a whole underwater theater where you go sit in like an amphitheater underwater and watch mermaids.
Just going to pull up some weird images on my Google image search.
Yes.
Don't do it at work.
Mermaid show, Wiki Walkie.
There you go. All right, well, I'm going to wrap it up right here and say thanks so much for listening. You can always find us online on Twitter at Mad Chatters. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram. And you can always send your emails to comments@madchatters.net. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Take a little time to find the magic in every day.
Vaya con Dios.